even though ironically, faculty positions are among some of the most stable. I'm talking about academic medicine and public health, especially schools of medicine, okay, are among some of the most stable jobs you can have. Those faculty codes are strong. They are tight, even though that is the case, okay? Especially my MDs and PhDs in academic medicine. Even though that is the case, the way that we will feel so uncertain about our positions is a product of the culture. I want you to understand that. Because the reality is that it's very difficult to fire you. Not impossible, but girl, it's hard, okay? So in the setting of that environment, of course, we want certainty. We want certainty. And I just want to tell you, I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to give you something. I'm not going to give you certainty. You can't have certainty with your fundable ID. It can't be 100%. This absolutely will go in. I'm going to give you certainty, but it's not going to be the black magic kind, okay? This isn't going to be about conjuring spirits, okay? And putting potions together to ensure things go through. Not that kind of certainty. But I am going to give you a kind of certainty here and what I want to offer to you and how you choose your fundable idea.
Hello, hello. You are listening to Your Unapologetic Career. Being a woman of color faculty in academic medicine who wants to make a real difference with your career can be tough. Listen, these systems are not built for us, but that doesn't mean we can't make them work for us. In each episode, I'll be taking a deep dive into one core growth strategy so you can gain confidence and effectiveness in pursuing the dream career you worked so hard to achieve. All you have to do is tune in to Your Unapologetic Career with me, your host, Kemi Dole, physician, surgeon, researcher, coach, and career strategist, for an always authentic, sometimes a little raw, but unapologetically empowering word. I keep it real for you because I want you to win. Okay, I don't know about you, but for me, whenever I'm trying to learn something new or integrate something new in my life, I really need to see it written down. I need a framework to understand how to make it come alive for me, and also so I can adapt it to make it work for me. And that's what I was thinking about when I started writing the KD Coach Foundation newsletters way back in 2019. I spent about 18 months writing these twice a month, thinking about all the ways in which I could communicate really clearly and honestly, briefly, about some career shifting tactics, strategies, and perspectives that can truly change people's experience of their career. Now, let's be honest, some of these were great, some of them were good, and some of them were just a really good try. But what I've done is compiled them into a digestible format of all of the great ones. I want to be able to keep this knowledge going. I got so many messages over and over again about how much the newsletters were changing people's approach to their productivity, the approach to managing their sanity and their energy during the week, and their approach to thinking about how to translate the goals and the desires of their career into functional, actual actions in their day in and day out experience. If you're interested in any of that, I really encourage you to sign up for our newsletter, the KD Coaching Foundations. It's free 99 and you can sign up at www.kemidole/foundations. Once you sign up, you will get one of these top tier, best performing, most cited newsletters from that period of time in your inbox every 2 weeks. I share these because I know, honestly, a lot of people are never going to sign up for Get That Grant. A lot of people are not going to be able to access the coaching we do because we're unapologetically focused on women of color faculty in academic medicine. But hey, I still want to help our entire field. I want to start a revolution. So if you haven't checked it out yet, definitely sign up at www.kemidole.com/foundations to check out our Career Foundations series.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to the podcast. We're going to be talking today about fundable ideas, that favorite phrase in academic research, definitely in academic medicine and public health.
everybody's always talking about like, well, how do I find a fundable idea? How do I translate my passions into fundable ideas? So, you know, we're going to talk about it. I think this is going to be on the briefer side. That's my goal, because I just want to interject into a different part of the conversation. You know, there's a lot here. Again, this is one of those topics you can Google and find somebody who did a talk, somebody else who wrote a paper, somebody else who wrote a blog post, some handbook that's been written. Like, I don't want to minimize the fact that there's a lot of resources out there around fundable ideas. I really want to speak, though, to this concept, especially as it applies to researchers on the margins and or people who are researching topics and things from the margins with a marginalized perspective or trying to do work that is on the margins. That's what I'm talking about. And that is often the case for women of color in academic medicine or public health, certainly for myself as a Black woman, that is the case. But it's not like it's the barrier in that, like, I think that any Black woman coming into academic medicine or public health already knows that we're coming up against challenge. It's not like we're confused and we enter the room thinking like, this place was made for me. Like, we get it. We know. And so the viewpoint that we have on a given problem, health equity or otherwise, this isn't just about health equity, but the fact that that lens that we have might look different, might be broader, might be deeper, might be more multidisciplinary, whatever, is like par for the course. So I'm clearly speaking from that perspective. And I'm also speaking to folks who, just like everybody else, need to find fundable ideas, need to have fundable ideas. But, you know, you might need to put some nuance. You might need to put some nuance on how we're defining fundable so you don't self-sabotage and you don't allow other people to sabotage you before you even get off the ground. And that's why I'm doing the episode. Some disclaimers. You know, in my faculty research career, I've had lots of different kinds of funding. I have much more non-NIH funding than I have ever had NIH funding. A fact for which I am proud. Creativity, y'all. Strategy. But, you know, it's important. Take that into account. And I'm a health services researcher. My lens is a health equity lens, but my background, my skills really started in population level analysis, looking at claims data, EHR data, as well as patient reported outcomes. So I kind of think of it as like the two extremes, like the kind of internal experience of what's going on with the patient all the way to like the population of experience of what's going on at the state level, the national level. So I'm speaking from that perspective. I'm also speaking from the perspective of someone who has coached a lot of people, a lot of people on their fundable ideas, on figuring out how they can package what they're trying to do into something meaningful. And so I'm bringing that to bear too. Okay. So the first thing I want to say is, the concept of fundable ideas definitely exists. So don't worry. Like, I guess I'm still like old school enough. You know, I'm old enough. I'm traditionalist enough to tell you like, it's true. There are fundable ideas and there are not fundable ideas. So from my perspective, they definitely exist. You can't just propose whatever you want and be like, but you should just fund it. Like, it should just be fundable. Like, I think that there is a threshold. To me, it's about strategically meeting that threshold. I don't think it's about like topic. I think it's more honestly about process. And I just want to say it's also about making sure that what you're proposing is research. So like when I say there are and are not fundable ideas, sometimes it's true. Sometimes people are like, well, this is what I want to do. And I'm like, that sounds awesome. That is a program. You need to get into a leadership track. That's amazing what you want to do. You want to affect change. But what you're describing, what you want to do, that is not research. And so that's one of the most common ways in which I think people really struggle with the whole idea of fundable is that like, it's not really so much like it's not a fundable idea. Sometimes it's just not research. Sometimes what you're actually trying to do is program development. You're trying to do intervention. You don't have any more questions. You're just trying to enact something. And I think that happens in academics, especially academic medicine, is because unfortunately, because, you know, we're so far behind in concepts of like innovation and sustainability. A lot of times the only kind of route people feel like they have to do new things in their environments, in their microenvironments, in their field is via the research angle. Like that's the only way you're going to get money. That's the only way you're going to get support. So then they try to like
reverse engineer that into a research question when like there's really truly not a research question there. That's hard. It's not impossible. It's just hard. And I want to call out that I understand what we're trying to do when we do that. But I think sometimes that's where a lot of the like, boo, this is not a fundable idea falls because it's not actually a research question. And I instead want to challenge us and our institutions to actually develop tracks for leadership and tracks for program development and innovation, which I know exists in some places and doesn't exist in others, where these things can actually happen without trying to honestly dress it up and camouflage it as quote unquote science. Okay. So I do believe in fundable ideas. Number two, I also recognize that this concept of whether the idea is fundable is a total catch-22, and it's weaponized, especially weaponized when you are focused on equity topics. It's weaponized when you are a person coming from the margins. It's weaponized when your idea is basically just not part and parcel of the mainstream. Right? When it's not just like a natural, logical next step in a long storied process of discovery. And again, oftentimes, not always, but oftentimes, what we're doing, we're often bringing those new ideas, different ways of looking at something, because that's the whole reason we're here. Like, that's the whole reason we went through all the drama and nonsense to get here, is recognizing that we had a distinct or different perspective or a passion around a particular topic. So fundable ideas can be weaponized. And I think that we are more subject to its weaponization because our ideas are tend to be more novel. So here's what you hear. You'll hear something like, this is just weird. This is too weird. You know how people just give you that squinty look and they're like, this is just too strange. It's too out there. And that drives me crazy because I'm like, isn't the whole point that we're trying to be novel? I'm sorry. I'm so confused. Isn't the whole idea, isn't there a whole section that people are scored on innovation? Right. But and yet you will still get the kind of feedback that's like, oh, this is not fundable because it's just basically too odd. It's too weird. We've never heard of it. Catch 22, y'all. Easily used to weaponize and get great, wonderful, novel ideas to like never see the light of day. Number two way that the concept of fundable ideas is weaponized is when people say things like, well, this is just not clear it will work. It's just not clear that it's possible. And I'm sitting there going, I'm sorry, isn't the whole point of research, isn't the whole point of science is to test things and see what happens? What happened to that, y'all? What happened to the whole point of experimentation ethically? So that's just another whole line of feedback of it's just not clear this will work that drives me insane. And that is an easy way. It's just a common way people get sabotaged early with the concept of the fundable idea because they're like, well, this isn't fundable because it's not clear it will work, even though you need the funding in order to try it out, to find out if it works, i.e. the research process. Number three, another way fundable ideas is weaponized. And I would offer that the first two I said are like the most commonly, people will just say this out loud, right? Like those two people will say out loud and they won't think anything of it. It won't hit them that like, maybe it's novel because of your perspective and your experience and the limitations around your background and how you see things, meaning like your intellectual background, what you've learned about, the conversations that you're in. Maybe it's not clear it will work because it's new. It actually is new, as opposed to funding incrementalism in a way that you already know the thing is working before you even write the grant for it. But those are just like more common, just more accepted to give that feedback as like, this is not a fundable idea. Here's the one that you won't hear people say out loud as much, but is totally at play. It's totally at play. And I'm saying it because I want you to put your little antenna up. If you ever get feedback that's like very negative, but you're like, I can't figure, like, what is the real problem here? People just don't like it. It's not fundable because I just don't like it. And oftentimes the don't like it is also, I don't care. It translates. I just don't like this concept. I don't want to hear about this pathway. I don't want to hear that this area might be influencing that area. I don't want to deal with that. I don't care. Maybe I don't think it's important. This population is really that important. The quote unquote, so what factor. Have y'all heard that phrase, right? What they're really saying is like, I just don't like it. But you know, we're not allowed to really say that. You know, that doesn't sound objective. That doesn't sound intellectual. So you'll get all these words around why your idea isn't fundable. And you're like, so you're like sitting there just searching. You're so confused. Do you know what I mean? It's another Amelia Bedelia moment where you're like, I'm just confused. Like, what is the actual issue? And I just want to offer to you, sometimes the actual issue is that they just don't like it. And these are human beings assessing your ideas. These are human beings giving you feedback. And sometimes human beings in an aware enough place to simply say, you know what? There's really nothing wrong with this. I just don't like it because X. So remember that this concept of fundable ideas can be weaponized. And those are a couple things to look out for. But I just want to say that I think oftentimes when I'm dealing with faculty, when I'm in conversations and people are asking this question, what they're really asking, they're not really asking like, is this a fundable idea? Because like, what does that even mean? I think what they're really asking is, how can I choose an idea to bet on so I won't lose? Right? That's what we really want to know. How do I select an idea? How do I choose a set of aims that I'm going to slog through, that I'm going to work on for months and months and months so I won't lose? I don't want to put all of this time and energy and effort into this thing, and then it ends up not getting funded anyway. I don't want to waste my energy. For a lot of us, like, I don't want to hope and have my hopes dashed. Please just give me an idea I can bet on so I won't lose. Essentially, we want certainty. That's what we want, which makes sense. Even though, ironically, faculty positions are among some of the most stable. I'm talking about academic medicine and public health, especially schools of medicine, okay, are among some of the most stable jobs you can have. Those faculty codes are strong. They are tight, even though that is the case, okay? Especially my MDs and PhDs in academic medicine. Even though that is the case, the way that we will feel so uncertain about our positions is a product of the culture. I want you to understand that. Because the reality is that it's very difficult to fire you. Not impossible, but girl, it's hard, okay? So in the setting of that environment, of course, we want certainty. We want certainty. And I just want to tell you, I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to give you something. I'm not going to give you certainty. You can't have certainty with your fundable idea. It can't be 100%. This absolutely will go in. I'm going to give you certainty, but it's not going to be the black magic kind. Okay. This isn't going to be about conjuring spirits. Okay. And putting potions together to ensure things go through. Not that kind of certainty, but I am going to give you a kind of certainty here at what I want to offer to you and how you choose your fundable idea. I'm going to call it like, you know, not 100% certain, but the next best thing. I actually want to tell you, there's the most important question for your fundable idea. And then there's some like sub questions that we'll talk about that we'll get to. But I just want to tell you the most important criteria, like the make or break criteria for what is your most fundable idea, is that your most fundable idea is the idea that you love the most. It's the one that lights you up the most. It is the one that you are most deeply curious about. It is the one where if somebody walked in tomorrow and said, here's $2 million, go crazy. You would be like, bet, hold my drink, I'm ready. You wouldn't blink twice. Your most fundable idea is the idea that you love the most. Why? Not because it's woo-woo. Not because this is all like, oh, it'll be fine. Just pick something you love and it'll be fine. No, this is a game now. You got to write some words on a page and get millions of dollars. No, the reason why is actually very practical. It's very non-woo-woo. The reason why your best idea, your most fundable idea is the one that you love the most is because it's the one you will fight for the most. It is the one that you will face challenges and keep going the most. Your most fundable idea is the one that is most deeply aligned with the whole purpose of why you jumped over hurdles and crawled through mud fields and danced and did all these things to effing get to this position. Your most fundable idea is the idea that is most aligned with the work you want to do in the world, with the impact you want to make. And within that, the one that is most exciting to you, because you will fight for it. The reason why an idea becomes fundable is because you have the persistence to see it through. It's not easy. Or I should say, it's not always easy. But where people, I see them failing over and over again is because we so desire to choose something so that you can bet on something that you won't lose. We so desire to have that certainty. We don't want to try really, really hard and then have our hopes dashed. We don't want to put months and months into an application that's not going to be successful. Is that we will spend all this time at the top of the process, shopping around the idea to everybody and their mama, everybody you can think of, to try to get all the opinions in the world about what's going to be most fundable. And after you've done crowdsourced the whole thing to death, and you've decided whatever Venn diagram you're using of whose opinions are matter the most, because you know they're conflicting opinions. So once you figure out whose opinions you've decided matter the most and done your whole Venn diagram, then you'll come to some conclusion, okay, this is the most fundable idea. And you'll be sitting staring at something that you don't even like. In fact, the only reason you like it is because it feels fundable. You don't even realize that you have replaced the initial passion and desire and excitement you had. That has been replaced with simply a feeling of relief that at least XYZ number of people feel this is fundable, so this is how I should move forward. And then you wonder why you can't make it through the grant process, or you wonder why the grant process itself is torture, or you wonder why, yeah, I'm going to say the secret thing out loud. You will submit it and then hope it doesn't get funded because you actually don't want to do it. And then you wonder why 5, 10, 15 years in, you don't even like the work you do, because all of the decisions have been driven by what everybody else thinks. All of the decisions have been driven by the crowdsourcing. You don't even like the work. In fact, you're busy delegating as quickly as possible. Your fundable idea is the one you care about the most. The one you care about the most is the one that is most closely linked to the whole reason why you're here to begin with. This is why if you're trying to take steps to identify your most fundable idea, and I understand that it can be hard to like deprogram yourself from all this, y'all. I get it. This is my attempt to enter into the deprogramming. Is first, just decide what you want to impact. Who do you want to impact? How do you want to impact them? Why? What arena? That sounds simple, but it's not. It's not when people have been told over and over again what they should do, what they should go into, where the money is, where the this is. Forget all that. What do you actually want to impact? Where are you actually curious? And this is where I want to bring in back my folks who maybe started at the top of the episode and they were like, well, that sounds like me, Kemi. Like I'm just interested in like implementing programs that are effective. I already know that works. I just want to do it. And I've been trying to like reverse engineer research projects. I want you to know, don't worry. Don't worry, you're not totally out for the count, especially if you're in a place that has no interest in funding your program development. This is what you can ask yourself. What do you not know about this area? What are you naturally actually curious about? This seems like simple, but again, it's amazing to me how many times people are like, well, I'm just trying to figure out like what to ask, what to this. And I'm like, well, what do you not know? Honestly, if you just ask yourself, what are you curious about in this arena? What questions would you ask right now? Because you're like, well, I mean, I don't actually know if it works this way or that way. I'm not actually sure if this will be effective or that will be more effective. Start there. Start with your actual curiosity. Instead of starting with what you think somebody else thinks is fundable, start with where are you curious about what works and what doesn't? Keep asking. How much do I know? Where do I not know? Where are my own gaps? Now you need to go read now. Make sure somebody else hasn't closed your gaps. But even if there's an article that sounds exactly what you want to do, read that bad boy again. Did they do it the way you would do it? Did they do it on who you would do it on? Did they ask the questions the way that you wanted to? Sit into your natural curiosity within the area you deeply want to impact. There might be things that you already know to do. Go do those things. What are the things you don't know? And within that realm, you just need to pick one question that is interesting to you, that you are curious about. Why? Why do you only need to pick one question? Because I'm going to tell you something that this trips people up all the time. That one question probably has at least 10 parts. It does. It does. And this gets into how do you start to make it fundable? The way that you start to make your passionate, purpose-driven work, quote unquote, fundable is one, you recognize to start simple. Oftentimes when we're at the margins, we feel like we need to complicate something in order to give it rigor. We need to complicate what we're asking. We need to complicate the pitch, the sell. We need to overpromise in order to make it fundable. So we basically will work ourselves into a situation of overwork, underfunded to do the work. You know, it's not feasible. You know, the outcomes aren't going to work because we feel this extra pressure, right? That like, well, people already don't like what I study. They already think it's weird. So I got to overcomplicate it to make it seem worthy. And what I want to offer to you instead is no, start simple. Take one place of curiosity you had. Simplify first, because this is why you need to simplify. Because what's simple to you is not to everyone else. It feels simple to you because of what you know. It feels simple to you because of the depths of your expertise and interest, because of the natural interest that you have, how much you've absorbed and stuck to. It feels simple to you. Your job is to recognize the complexity of the questions that you have and then communicate that complexity outwards. That's how you don't overpromise. That's how you don't set yourself up for overwork and resentment. Simplify to one question that you are really deeply curious about within what you already love. Number two, so then you're generally embarking in a curious manner. I can't tell you how many people are writing grants where they like feel like they already know the answer. They already know what's going to happen. I'm like, well, how is that interesting? Embark on something that you're genuinely curious about. Number two, start to pull apart all of the different aspects. Why is it interesting no matter what you find? If you're testing an intervention, why is it interesting whether it works or it doesn't? If you're seeking to understand some phenomena, why is it interesting whether you think you find what you're going to find or not? Challenge yourself to get to the nitty-gritty. Think about all of the different aspects within this single question that make it interesting. You'll start to realize very quickly, oh, there's actually a lot we could ask here. There's a lot we could do here. And that's a great place to be because now you can say, ah, among all of these things I could do, among all of these different perspectives that I could use to get into this question, to answer this question, now I can ask myself, what are the three strongest ways in? What are the three building blocks to ask this kind of question in this way? That's how you start to make your idea fundable. Not overcomplicating it. The opposite. Simplify it and then demonstrate the complexity within the simple question. That's actually such a cool thing when you read a grant where you're like, oh, this seems like, okay, they're just asking A to B. And then you keep reading and you're like, wow, there's so much here. It's so rich. That's the feeling you get. Wow, I didn't even consider this aspect of it. That aspect of it. Woo! That's how you take something from this is not rigorous enough, this feels too simple, whatever, to like, wow, this is deeply thought out, researched, fascinating. I can't wait to find out what they find out too. Your curiosity will shine through. This is why I'm asking you, actually be curious. Please stop retrofitting something to something that you already know. It makes it very difficult to then communicate the genuine unknown, to communicate why the hypothesis testing is so cool if you're not really curious yourself. Lastly, oftentimes when we're at the margins or our questions are coming from that place, we're inherently multidisciplinary. So because people don't know, like I find a lot of times, and again, this is why it goes beyond equity work, right? Is that like a lot of our clients, like they sit right in the middle. They sit in the middle of two fields, in the middle of two perspectives. Like that's how they naturally are, right? They're naturally not in like the mainstream, right? So like, even if it's like neurons or macrophages, like whatever it is, because we got clients across the entire translational science spectrum, all the way from like preclinical, super basic, all the way to population level and back and forth. But what is so common about everybody is like sitting at some intersection, right? Not being fully this kind of person or that kind of person. I'm kind of in the middle. People don't know what to do with me. Great. You're our people, right? But what I want to offer is that when you sit like that, you can feel a lot of pressure that you have to be expert in all of the different intersecting pieces of where you sit. So you'll be like, well, I sit between neuroscience and cognitive behavioral therapy and, you know, like this particular marginalized populations. And so you feel like I have to be an expert in all of these things to like make any progress. And when you sit in between, you see how it's so much easier to feel imposter syndrome, because now you've given yourself not one field to be expert in, but three. And so you're never going to reach there. And so I also find that ideas get sabotaged early because people are like, well, I just don't know enough to do this. And this is something really tangible I want to offer to you if this is you, is you don't have to be an expert at all the different places, all the different fields that intersect with your question, but you do have to have a foundation of expertise in at least one, okay? And so you might be amazing. I mean, you might be like, well, Kemi, I got 2 out of 3 or whatever, but here's what I want to explain to you. What you can do, what can be so functional, so helpful for you, is to ground your application, ground the grant, ground the proposal in one foundation of your expertise. And a lot of us only have one, which is fine, but you ground it in that place. And then you demonstrate your facility with moving into the other areas. It's because of your foundation, your point of expertise, that you can say, ah, I sit here and see these 2 or other 3 different connections. And this is how I'm going to demonstrate that, by showing you how where I am grounded translates to A, translates to B, translates to C, right? And then you can be so much more specific about what is required or needed from any one of those areas to support your idea. That's where it's, well, career development award, you might be getting training in lane A to add to your foundation already. Well, if it's not, you're in RO1 land, you might be getting a consultant or a co-i that comes in, not because you can't do anything, but because you can specifically demonstrate what they're bringing to the table. I don't want to go, I mean, I feel like I could do this all day. I'm not going to do this all day, but I just wanted to add that piece in for you multidisciplinary folks, from you interdisciplinary folks, because I think sometimes we can ourselves set the bar so much higher, and you don't have to do that. Your idea can be fundable, and it actually, you're going to write a better grant. It's going to be more enjoyable to write the grant when you actually double down on your foundation of expertise, where it stands for you. The thing you could talk about all day, left, right, set, like just all day. Ground so far deeply in that, that when you come out and make connections, when you make those connections that are a little farther outside of what you do, what you actually demonstrate is your ability. It's like, oh, wow, they really understand how all of this connects back to what they do. So, fundable ideas. Those are some stepping stones. I wanted to leave you with some specifics alongside all of the warning signs and avoiding the self-sabotage. Your most fundable idea is the idea that you care about the most. It's the one that's most aligned with your purpose. It's the one that you love the most, not because of magic, but because it will give you the fuel and the motivation to go through a process that usually is long, that usually does require feedback. When you really believe in your idea, when you are like, I am genuinely curious about this, I want to know, then you can take feedback that says, listen, I know you really want to know. I got it. I hear you. I know you really want to know. But what I have to tell you in terms of feedback is that you cannot get that answer from this data. You'll take it and be like, okay. Because if it's true, if you literally can't get the answer you're looking for from that data set, then that's where the energy comes through to say, you know what? All right, fine. I got to go find a different one. I shall look. I'll be back, right? Because now you understand something. You learned something about an assumption you made. You understand something. You can step back and pivot and say, okay, here's where I'm going to go find this, right? Or if you're locked into that data set, you can say, well, let me go back to my little sandbox of ideas and see what can I answer that's still within what I care about, aligned with my purpose, et cetera, et cetera. You don't have to abdicate your purpose. You don't have to abdicate what you really care about. However, again, the fundable idea, the one that's going to make it through, is the one that you are genuinely curious about and you love, because it will allow you to do everything else you have to do. You have to get feedback. You have to present. You have to massage that bad boy. You have to write boring documents. You have to go back over it. You have to be able to listen where the gaps are, where people don't understand and think, okay, they don't understand. What are the different words they can use, et cetera? You have to be able to do the higher order maneuvering between the sabotaging, it's too weird, it's not clear, it will work, I don't like it, and the actual quality feedback. That's one of the things we do in our coaching program. How do you get functional feedback so you don't sabotage yourself, et cetera, et cetera. So please, y'all, please, please, please. You've probably figured it out by now. This is a plea to believe in yourself, believe in your expertise, believe in your ideas. Believe that your natural curiosity, where your passion lies, is also a really worthy topic. And because you're here in these streets too, you also deserve to have a wonderful, amazing, funded career where you get to investigate and ask questions about things that are interesting to you. All right. Take care, y'all. Have a great week. Have a great weekend. I love you and I mean it.
Hey there. To be honest, this is uncomfortable for me, but here's the thing. I am getting used to leaning into discomfort. So here is my request for you. I am unapologetically asking you for something. If you listened to this podcast episode and it resonated for you and it was helpful for you, can you double check and see if you follow our podcast on your platform? Make sure that you follow us or subscribe so that you never miss an episode and you don't have to worry about hearing from somebody else that an episode was good, because it will just automatically download to your device. Here's another thing that would be amazing. If you haven't yet, I would really appreciate if you go on your podcast platform to rate our podcast and to post a review if you love it. It does actually make a difference to people being able to find this podcast who similarly would appreciate the content. And basically, I would appreciate it a lot. So thanks for listening. I do this because I want us all to be in community with an elevated level of conversation. And I hope that you follow us, you like our episodes, and you consider leaving a rating and review if you haven't yet. Thanks so much. Take care. Bye.